the industry and occupation and philosophy of maintenance is a busy, noble, and wise course of action in this world. You see, ever since the fall of man, recorded for us in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, everything, and I do mean everything, deteriorates, wears down, degenerates into disorder. Robert Frost wrote a poem about it. It's a beautiful poem called Nothing Gold Can Stay. Nothing gold can stay. It's about that very thing. You want an example? How about your body? And there's a lot more amens over here. Oh, mercy, yes. Hey, listen, we got out there. We get out on the softball field now, and where's Brother Shannon? Brother Shannon, I'm coveting first base. You say, why? Well, folks, I play left field. And I loved playing left field when I was 25 years old. But now I actually have to stretch, Brother Apple, amen? And then, even after I get home, I have to soak. I never had to soak before, amen? Why, what's going on there? The body's deteriorating. It's deteriorating. And so it needs maintenance. It needs proper diet. Boy, you don't get too many amens in the Baptist church there. Let me try again. It needs proper diet. Amen. Amen. Needs exercise. Yeah. I think about something I had to have done last year. God help me. I had to have 3 teeth pulled. You know why? No maintenance. Amen. Just plain old neglect, folks. It's okay. Confess your faults one to another. I hate the dentist with a passion. Amen. And he hates me, and he proved it by beating me up. Amen. But if I'd have maintained long ago when that tooth got a little crack in it or a cavity, if I'd have maintained it, I wouldn't have had to go and have those painful pulls now, would I? Your body is certainly an object of maintenance. Something else. How about your home? Listen, I can't tell. I've joked about this, and it's so true. Hey, listen, when Carrie and the kids were away, it was amazing how clean the house stayed. Now, I'm not picking on my wife tonight, please. We made a rule a long time ago, never embarrass one another in public. I'm not. She does a good job. But listen, those little dirt magnets, they require a lot more maintenance. Didn't Josiah used to have that shirt that said dirt magnet? Amen. They require a lot more maintenance. Hey, listen, it seems like you put the paint on a house and 5 years later, you've got to put more paint on there. You got to keep up the... Hey, you put a roof on, amen, and you got to put a new roof on. It's just... Why? Because things in this universe are deteriorating. They go down. They don't have a tendency, contrary to what the evolutionist tries to tell us, they don't have a tendency towards order and getting better. Empirical evidence with our own eyes says things break down. Think about your automobile. Good gracious, I told Deke Wetzel the other day, I said, I feel like I've been paying rent the last couple of months, amen? Just things happen with your vehicles, amen? Brother Deke does a good job, I praise God for him, but that's what happens. Things break down. Think about your mower, your snowblower, all those things. They require maintenance. In Ephesians chapter 4, the book of Ephesians, by the way, I think Wednesday nighters, I think it's the next book of the Bible that we're going to do on Wednesday nights after we get done with our series in Psalm 119. It's such an awesome study, Ephesians is. It was written by the Apostle Paul during his first Roman imprisonment from 60 to 62 AD, along with Colossians and Philippians and Philemon. Paul, those of you that remember your Bible, had ministered in Ephesus for almost 3 years. Acts chapter 18, 19, 20 tells us about his ministry there. He loved the Ephesians. And Ephesians itself, the 6 chapters of Ephesians, breaks down into 2 major groups of 3 chapters apiece. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, one group. And chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, into another group. Chapter 1, 2, and 3 talks about our position. Chapter 4, 5, and 6, our practice. Chapter 1, 2, and 3, our belief. Chapter 4, 5, and 6, our behavior. Our calling, our conduct. Our doctrine, our duty. The revelation and the responsibility. The great doctrines of salvation and redemption through the blood of Christ. Let me say that again. Redemption through the blood of Christ. Amen. Are laid out in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And then chapter 4, 5, and 6 deals with our duty. Because we are in Christ. Amen. I want to say, number one, just by way of an outline tonight, all the points start with E. Number one, I want you to notice the effect in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, and we've said many times now, when you see the word therefore or wherefore, ask yourself what it's there for. It's connecting the thought in the previous verses. Be it a group of verses or an entire chapter or an entire couple of chapters. In this case, I believe it's connecting the thought, the effect in chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Paul can command, but he chooses to beseech. Hey, he would well be within his rights, Brother Case, to, as an apostle, say, bless God, do this because I said so. Yeah. But you know what beseech means?
Beg.
It means beg.
Amen.
It means to beg. Beg. I beg you, in view of chapter 1, in the fact that He hath chosen you before the foundation of the world. In view of chapter 2, that by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. In view of chapter 3, in which you are currently seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's the effect of that? Paul begs, and he says, that you walk worthy. Proper conduct springs from a correct understanding of one's calling. Listen to this, folks. Duty springs from doctrine. That's the difference between the cotton candy churches that just have fluff 1 hour a week and what we want to be as a church. We want to teach you good doctrine in Sunday school. We don't just have Sunday school for kids and old ladies. No offense to you, dear senior saints. Amen. Listen, we have Sunday school to teach us good doctrine that we may do our duty for Christ.
Amen.
So there's an effect that takes place. But then I want you to notice the entreaty. Not only the effect, but the entreaty. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, and long-suffering, and forbearing one another in love. How is it possible for unworthy sinners like us, and that's what we are, ladies and gentlemen, how is it possible that we could walk worthy of the perfect Son of God? Can I tell you, I believe, Brother Horace, it can be summed up in one word. It's the word humility. Humility. If you notice there, the first word in chapter or verse 2, the first we have with all what? Lowliness. That's the product of humility. Lowly, by the way, lowliness isn't walking around like this. That's not what it is. It's a product of an attitude that lowers ourself. Do you know a person can walk with their chest high and still be lowly? Amen? It's the product of humility. It produces lowliness. Being lowly. Not thinking of ourselves higher than we ought to, the Bible says. So there's lowliness. And then you see in verse 2, and what's the next word? Meekness. Not only the product of humility, but the patience of humility. To be meek. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 11, he said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." The Bible says about Moses that he was the meekest man that ever lived. The entreaty is that we'd walk worthy. How do we do that? Humility. Lowliness, the product of humility. Meekness, the patience of humility. Long-suffering, the perseverance of humility. Long-suffering, just patiently enduring. That's not easy, is it, folks? That is not. Particularly, what's it talking about here? It's talking about the church as a body. Being long-suffering. Hey, we're the opposite. We're quick-fused. Somebody comes and rubs our fur the wrong way. We got to let them know how we feel. That's the opposite of long-suffering. Amen? Long-suffering. The perseverance of humility. You know, I admire things where people have to persevere. I admire the marathon. Now, great, I'm not running any marathons. But I admire the marathon runner. That perseverance. They just kind of go along and just keep plodding. I admire the farmer. Amen? I really do. The farmer, they just persevere. They till the ground and they get rid of the rocks and they plant the soil and they pray for rain and they watch the shoots come up and they care for it and they just do. I admire that kind of perseverance. Long-suffering, folks. Long-suffering. Then, what a great word. Forbearing. Forbearing one another. That's the protection of humility. You know what that word forbearing means? It's an awesome word. It means to put up with. I just lost half of you right now. Amen. Say, you mean I have to put up with that person that bothers me? Yeah. Yes. That's right. That's really where it ends off there. Brother Merrill just wants to preach my sermon tonight. Amen. You see it right there. Lowliness, the product of humility. Meekness, the patience of humility. Long-suffering, the perseverance of humility. Forbearing, the protection of humility. And what does it say? Forbearing one another in love. The priority of humility. That's the key to it all, isn't it? Love. We love one another. We love one another. We're the body of Christ. Amen? Love one another. So the effect, verse 1. The entreaty, verses 1 and 2. Notice the energy in verse 3. And it's really our key verse. First word. Endeavoring. Endeavoring. Compound Greek word, spoudazo, means this. To use speed, be prompt or earnest, do give diligence, be diligent, forward, endeavor, labor, study. This is that idea here that we see. It takes energy. The title of our message is right out of the text, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It takes energy to do that. It takes energy. Endeavoring, it's a verb, amen? It requires action on our parts. We have to endeavor to keep the bond of the Spirit. The opposite of that would be to let the Spirit go. And that doesn't take any energy or effort at all. But fourthly, we see the effort in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep. This is where we get this idea of maintenance. Unity in a church does not just happen. You know why? Because there's 200 sinners here every morning. Scary, isn't it? There's probably 120, 130 sinners here tonight. And all of us have sin issues. And therefore, it takes effort for us to keep. Hey, listen, it takes effort for you to keep that mower from breaking down. Right. It takes effort for you. fill in the blank, amen, to keep that house clean or to whatever, amen. There's mechanics that get paid thousands and thousands of dollars to maintain the planes that we fly on. Why? Because it takes effort. And listen to me, the church of God is no different. It takes effort. If we're going to have unity here, and not, listen, I've said this so many times, we're not just kumbaya, hold hand in unity. I'm talking about unity in Christ, amen. It takes effort. It takes effort. And it just doesn't take effort on the pastoral staff or the deacons or the missionary committee or the nursery workers. Heaven help them, amen. It takes effort on every one of our parts. We're all part of the body of Christ here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. So it takes effort. There's effort. There's energy. There's the entreaty. There's the effect. Oh, verse 5. There's the end. What's the end of this effort? What's the end of this energy? What's the end of this entreaty and this effect? The end of verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Say, hey, what's the end? Unity of the Spirit. The fact that my brother or my sister and I can disagree on something and still have unity. Brother Ouellette told me a story years ago. He said there was a point where they wanted to add on to their building, Brother Howland, but they didn't want to go into debt. And so he felt that the Lord led him to sell bonds to the building. And there was a man in his church, and he didn't rise up, but he said, Pastor, and he met with the pastor privately, he said, I don't think we ought to sell bonds. He said, And the pastor could say with certainty, he said, really, I've sought the Lord about it. I believe that's what we ought to do. Brother Howland, he told me, he said, that man sold more bonds than anybody else. That's unity. There was another time where they were painting the church, and God help us for church splits over paint colors. Amen. Hallelujah. Never over souls or missions, but over paint colors. Amen. And there was a group, there was a husband and wife that said, Pastor, boy, I don't think we ought to paint it that color. Maybe could we go with a different color? The pastor said, no, that's what we're going to do. And Brother Boston, he said, that couple painted more than anybody else that color that they didn't like. That's unity. That's the end. Unity of the Spirit and peace. Aren't you glad for a church where the unity of the Spirit reigns? There's peace. So listen, some of you have been in churches where it's just strife. Listen, we've had our battles. Amen? We've had our battles. And again, we're going to talk about that in just a minute in regards to that. But listen, folks, the end is the unity of the Spirit in the bond. The bond. The bond. That adhesive, that glue. The bond of peace is the end. What else do we see? We see the essentials in verses 3 through 6. What's the essentials? Well, look at it. Talks about there the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And here's the essentials. There is one body. One. There is one Spirit, even wherewith ye are called. One hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father. And it's talking there about these essentials for unity. Listen, there's not two Holy Spirits, there's one. There's not two bodies of Christ, there's one. There's not two, and on and on and on. These are the essentials. If we'll put God in His proper place and His Word and get all these ones in order, we'll endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's the essentials. There's the effort. There's the energy. There's the entreaty. There's the effect. Number 7, and then we'll get into some application. There's some enemies of unity. There's some enemies. Let me give you just a few. Pride. Pride is the greatest enemy of unity. Because pride vaunts and lifts up self. Pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10. Show me a church where there's no unity, and I will show you pride on display and reigning for all to see. Amen. Absolutely. another, and it goes right along with pride, another enemy is self. Self. We're our own worst enemies, aren't we? And the same goes true within the unity of the Spirit. I think of something I mentioned the last couple weeks. You know, gossip is an enemy of unity. I appreciate that message Pastor Donald preached on the Wednesday night. Have you heard? And he walked over and... You know, boy, I'll tell you what, that's an enemy of unity. That's an enemy. If you've got something like that, can I just very gently and very softly and very kindly tell you to keep your mouth shut? Could you do that? I'll make a covenant with you. I'll do that if you do that. Fair deal? My friend Phil Tharp used to say during service, if you don't get up and go to the bathroom, I won't. When he was preaching, amen. Same here. You don't gossip, I won't gossip. We'll keep the unity of the Spirit a whole lot better. Amen. Is it kind? Is it true? Is it necessary? Why don't we ask ourselves these questions before we start speaking to somebody? Is it kind? Is it true? And that last one will really clear up most gossip. Is it necessary? Well, I just got to tell you. No, you don't either. You just want to tell me. Gossip. It's an enemy. You know what else is an enemy of unity? Offense. Offense. Getting offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, they sat in my pew. Well, you know what? We've got a few extra around here. Matter of fact, if you like, you can go right up to the balcony, have the whole thing to yourself. Amen. Amen. Offense is very, 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 very rarely over the great doctrines of the Bible. Amen? Usually it's just personalities. Hey, you know what we need to do? Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. Let me give you another enemy. Division. Division. Division is a product of carnal Christians. That's what Paul said. Don't look at me like that. That's what Paul said. He said, hey, where come divisions from amongst yourself, James says. And he said, are you not carnal and have ye divisions? For this one says, I'm of Paul, and this one says, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? 1 Corinthians 3. Show me a church that's divided into this little faction and this little faction, and they're not doing anything for the cause of Christ. I'll show you a church where there's no unity. And especially, no unity of the Spirit. See, when we're unified in the Spirit of God, we want to get along with one another. Why? Because we're going forward for God. Enemies. Pride, self, gossip, offense, anger. Anger. Well, I'll tell you, we have to constantly maintain our tempers, don't we? Amen. Amen. Maintain them. Keep them in check. Division, sin, carnality. We could go on and on and on. Let me give you some applications to help us to keep, endeavoring to keep the unity of Spirit. Just four or five things here. First of all, be in the book. Be in the book. Be in the book. Study to show thyself approved. Learn about humility. Learn about meekness. Learn about lowliness. Learn about the Lord Jesus Christ. Set about. You got one of those red letter Bibles? Listen, set about to read all the red letters. I joke so many times with my wife. When I first got saved, she had one of those little gift award Bibles. I wish we still had that thing. I don't know. We lost that somewhere in a long line. But it was hilarious, Brother Tom. She had one of those red letter Bibles, and every red letter was highlighted. I said to her, I said, honey, you don't have to do that. They already did it for you. Amen. They already made them a different color. But I look back on it, Brother Horsch, and said, you know what? She obviously went through those and read those red letters. Amen. I remember the time I was a new Christian. I said to my wife, who'd been saved since she was 8 years old, I said, you're not going to believe what I saw in the Bible today. Not going to believe it. She said, what? I said, look at this verse. This is so good. She said, what is it? I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And for one of the few times in my wife's life, she kind of looked at me and went, said, have you ever seen this before? I said, yeah, I've seen it. Probably at every football game ever imagined, amen. Some joker holding it up in the end zone, amen. John 3, hey, be in the book! Be in the book. May it delight our souls like it did that day when we read John 3:16 for the first time. This book is a book of unity. It's a book that tells us how to maintain that unity of the Spirit. So be in the book, first application. Secondly, be cultivating humility. Our example is Jesus Christ. Amen? Read Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11 or so. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Boy, it's hard to get offended when you obey that verse. It's hard to get offended. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of the servant. Can I just do some preaching here for a little bit? Yesterday, you know what we had around here? A bunch of servants. You know what we have in Sunday school every week? A bunch of servants. You know what we have in Truth Trackers and Miss Sarah with the Tiny Trackers, and God bless them, I kid about them all the time, our nursery workers. You know what we have here? We got a bunch of servants. Amen. You know what our deacons are? Oh, they're not this high and mighty board in our church. They're a bunch of servants. They're a bunch of servants. I thank God for this church. Cultivate that lowliness. Cultivate humility in our lives. Read about it. Get around men and women that you see have those qualities and ask them questions. It's still okay that the elder teach the younger. Amen? It's Bible. Cultivating humility. Be working, number three. Be in the book. Be cultivating humility. Be working at unity. Work at it. If somebody gets on your nerves, work at what we've talked about tonight. Now, for some of you, the easiest way to maybe work on that is as soon as you see them to run the other direction. Amen? You can't do that all the time, though. Amen? You can't do that all the time. Especially if every time somebody sees you and they see you running the other, they're going to start going like this. You know, what's going on here? Amen? Hey, you got to work at unity. Hey, we're not always going to agree. Hey, we're not always going to have the same personality. I learned this with my wife and I years ago. We think differently. Praise God. And listen, and I still got her. Hallelujah. Amen. 19 years coming up this week. Glory to God. Amen. But we think differently. The way she thinks is not wrong. The way I think is not wrong. It's just us. But we can still be unified. I say this about our deacons. There's times in our deacons' meeting where we disagree. We come out of that room unified. And that's not just because one wins or has their way. We make sure it's that way. We desire to work at being unified. Work at it. Work at unity. Not unanimity, but unity. There's a difference. Amen? And then lastly tonight, probably the most important part of endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit by application, be in the book, be cultivating humility, be working at unity, be mortifying self. Paul in Colossians talks about mortify therefore your members which are on the earth. And then he talks about fornication, uncleanness, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Paul said this. He said, I die daily. You know what? If we'd keep this old flesh in check, we'd have a lot more unity. Amen? We don't have to be right. We have to be unified for Christ. Sometimes, well, I just got to be right. You got a pride problem. Amen? If I've always got to be right, I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm talking about personality-wise. If everybody's just got to always see it my way, I've got a pride problem. Listen, let's be keeping that flesh down. Paul gives the illustration of the athlete in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Talks about, matter of fact, let's go there. We'll close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 24. First Corinthians 9. Verse 24. Vince Lombardi patterned his coaching style after verse 24. Said, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain." He coined that phrase, run to win. Run to win. Then it says, "For every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know what we need to do? We need to mortify self and all those other enemies, pride, offense. Hey, let's just put them under our heel. No, not for anybody else, for ourselves. Say, you know what? I'm not going to be offended. Listen, they love the Lord and I love the Lord. What's to be offended about? Come on, amen, church? I've got to banish pride. I've got to mortify that pride. I've got to mortify that self and that gossip. Yeah, I know my tongue it wants to, but you know what? I'm going to bridle that tongue, like James says. Flesh and division. I'm going to do my best not to cause division, but to seek and foster unity. Listen, it takes work, folks. We've got it. We've got the unity of the Spirit. Amen, church? Yeah. We've got it. Let's keep it. Amen? Amen. Let's keep it. Let's perform that spiritual maintenance. Keep it. Do our part. Father, we love you.